We come tonight to verse 48. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Dear congregation, the psalmist said in the very first psalm, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The blessed man, the godly man, will be found delighting in God's word and meditating thereon. He finds great delight, and so he will seek to continually meditate upon it. The book is loved, and so the book is considered often in the minds of the godly, or it should be. Dear brothers and sisters, this book is before us, and we love this book because it is God's word. Do not we find ourselves having a desire to read it and to meditate upon it? That's our desire. Yes, as we shall note tonight, there are times when we say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak, but we have that willing spirit, for it is our delight. Well, tonight we come to the fourth and the fifth thing promised in the second half of this portion of the psalm. Promised in view of God's strength that the psalmist would be doing. Or we could look at it from this point. Five things, and here is the fourth and the fifth thing that he was resolved to do. Well, we have both of these in verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Let's come directly then to these words. First of all, I will lift up my hands unto God's word. Secondly, I will meditate upon God's word. I will lift up my hands unto God's word. Secondly, I will meditate upon God's word. Note what the psalmist says in verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. And you see there his affection, his love for the word. And because of this, he is found lifting up his hands unto God's word. Now briefly in scripture, the lifting up of hands is associated, firstly, with prayer. Psalm 28 verse 2. And then in the New Testament, 1 Timothy 2 verse 8. If you recall, we just sung those words in Psalm 143 verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, my soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land. Selah. So firstly, it is associated with prayer. Secondly, with blessing others. First of all, we can consider blessing men. Aaron lifted up his hands, Leviticus 9, verse 22, and blessed them. You recall our Lord, before he left this world, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. So we can consider, when we think of blessing others, firstly, blessing men. But then secondly here, it is associated with blessing or praising God. And so we read in Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, O ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And see there, scripture. There were those who were praising the Lord and they would lift up their hands. Now we must just pause and consider these words here. Such words or such verses in scripture must never be used to justify what some have engaged in these days when they lift up their hands and they draw attention to themselves and do not earnestly give God the glory. And we must underline that. So much of what we see today is to draw attention to self, and one is not truly in a reverent, humble way giving God the glory, as they did, as we note there in Psalm 143. So secondly then, firstly, lifting up our hands associated with prayer. Secondly, we're blessing others, firstly men, but then also God. And then thirdly, lifting up of hands and scriptures associated with vows. And we think of that in Genesis 14, verses 22 through to verse 24. So we can see those things which were associated in scripture with lifting up of the hands. Well, here the psalmist says here, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He lifts up his hands unto God's commandments. Now it's plain, isn't it? It's something signified here. It's symbolic. He had the word before him. Yet we read here, he lifted up his hands. It's teaching us something about the psalmist's heart. And as we think of these words here, I'd like us just to briefly consider what was going on in his heart when he uttered these words. For it is the heart we see here, particularly in verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Well, as we think of these words here, first of all, his heart was for the word. As it were, he's lifting up his hands. He's reaching for the word because he so loves it. His heart is for the word. Secondly, he has a hunger for the word. You think of those who may be out in the streets and they're hungry and they raise their hand. They're desirous. Well, here the psalmist, as he says these words, he's showing that he has a hunger for the word. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He has a hunger. He's so desirous to be fed by the word. Thirdly, he so values the word. He's reaching for the book. Remember that lady in Scotland? She reached for the book as she defended the truth. He so values the word. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He lifts them up. He values the word. Fourthly, he has a great delight. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He so rejoices in the word. He so wants, as it were, the word to come near to his heart. And so he says, my hands also will I lift up. He's rejoicing. Fifthly, as we shall note in a moment, he desires to further meditate on the word. He lifts up his hands because he wants to receive the word, as it were, and meditate upon it. He doesn't want the word at a distance. He wants it to be brought near. He's ready, as it were, to receive the word that he might meditate upon it. Sixthly, in these words here, he's looking in expectation for a blessing. He's looking in expectation for a blessing. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He's expecting. He received the word. He read it. And he know a blessing. As it were, he's reaching out for the book in expectation. Because he knows he will have a blessing. And then seventhly, as we think of these words here, what's going on in his heart? Well, it's this. Seventhly, he earnestly wants to be doing his duty. He's earnest here. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. He is not folding his hands. No, he wants the word because he wants to humbly walk with his Lord. He earnestly wants to be doing his duty. Well, that's seven, but Thomas Manton would open up other things as well. It's plain God's word was special to him. He's lifting up his hands, as it were. He's so thinking of the word in his heart. It's special. He has respect. He so desires it to be brought near to his mind. He so desires that the Holy Spirit would apply it in his heart. His heart is moved. He loves God's word, so as it were, he lifts up his hands. He wants it. He wants it to be brought so very near. My hands also will I lift up. And dear brethren, we can do that in our heart. hands at this very moment. As it were, God is seeing us lift up our hands. God delights to see us being serious with his word. The psalmist is serious here. It's a holy joy he has, and he so wants to know the word, and so he lifts up his hands, his heart is moved, and God delights in this. And God delights to see you doing such, having such a desire for the word in your heart. Let God see that you so value the word, that you have a hunger for it, your heart is in it, that you're looking to it in expectation to receive a blessing, that you earnestly want to do your duty and thus conform to Scripture. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments. Well, he's promising himself this through the Lord's enabling grace. And he's resolved to do this. He's resolved to so consider the word, to value it, to have a hunger after it, to look in expectation to receive a blessing from it. He's so resolved, he will have to lift up his hands unto God's commandments. Let it be your resolve in your heart to lift up your hands to the commandments. Let your heart be pulled. Pray that the Spirit would so cause you to be moved. Now, if you turn over the page in verse 97, we read these words. O, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. You see there, similar, isn't it? His heart is for the word. We see that here, it's his heart. It's expressive here, my hands also will I lift up. But all we note is heart, which I have loved. O, how love I thy law, says the psalmist. Oh, how God's law does us good. It affects our souls. It causes us to consider our blessed Saviour and friend. No wonder we're saying, oh, how love I thy law. Consider how you've been blessed through this book. How the Lord has spoken to your soul. We love this book, do we not? Because we hear the voice of our beloved. Listen to Spurgeon. He loves so much that he must express his love. And in making the attempt, he perceives that it is inexpressible and therefore cries, oh, how I love. We not only reverence but love the law. We obey it out of love. And even when it chides us for disobedience, we love it nonetheless. The law is God's law and therefore it is our love. We love it for its holiness and pine to be holy. We love it for its wisdom and study to be wise. We love it for its perfection and long to be perfect. Oh, dear brethren, you have a love for this book. It's in your heart, as it were. You're lifting up your hands to God's commandments. Well, be resolved to do so. And ask the Lord, Lord, I love thy word. I want to love it more. I want to have a greater desire for it. O Lord, give me such a hunger again and again for thy word. I will lift up my hands unto thy commandments. Secondly, I will meditate on God's word. I will meditate on God's word. Now do you see how it's flowing through here in this psalm? Just go back to verse 47. I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved. And I will meditate in thy statutes. He delights in the word. He has a longing for the word, an affection. He values it. And so he wants to meditate upon it. And when we think of meditating upon the word, if we find our hearts being drawn to the word, we will find it easier to meditate upon it. He loves the word. It brought him much joy. No wonder he is resolved, or he promises to himself through the strength of God that he would meditate upon it. You think of someone you love. You want to think about that person. You husbands here, you want to think about your wife, your wives, your husband, maybe somebody in the family. You love them, so you think about them with much love. Well, here's the psalmist. He loves the word, so he wants to think about it. He's resolved to do so. I will. It's our resolve, isn't it, when we say it with God listening on. I will meditate in thy statutes. You see how the psalmist here, he's speaking, being mindful of the Lord. I will meditate in thy statutes. He's making his resolve before the Lord, and so do we. Look to the Lord for strength, so that you are found meditating in the word. He'll give you that strength. He delights to see you and me just pausing, even if it be just for a few moments, to consider some verse we have read, maybe earlier in the day. He will give you that strength to do so. Pray that the Holy Spirit would so stir your soul that you find your heart warm within, and that you find your mind being drawn to the word as well. It's our delight, isn't it? It's brought us joy. Therefore, we long to meditate further upon it. We have this desire, don't we? But we know the frailty of the flesh. We have certain desires, do we not? Certain desires to do things for the Lord. But sometimes, because of our weakness, our bodily weakness, we don't do as we want to do the thing we so desire. You think of those words again in Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing. And as we think of that tonight, what are we saying to the Lord? Lord, I want to so meditate on thy word. It's brought me much comfort in affliction, joy in sorrow, help in difficulty. I so want to meditate on the word. I want to spend more time. That's our desire. Our spirit is willing. But all we know, the flesh is weak. What a blessing it will be when we get to heaven. And then on that great day when our bodies will so assist us in worshipping the Lord. I was talking to an elderly lady earlier, and she was very tired. And she said this to me, and I said to her, just think one day, we won't need to sleep in heaven. As a boy, I used to find that a little bit difficult to comprehend. I won't need to sleep in heaven. What a blessing. That we won't need to sleep in heaven. We'll be able to so worship the Lord. But we know the frailty of the flesh now. But oh, we have that willing spirit. The spirit indeed is willing. And you just think of those words. Jesus is saying it in view, particularly of the disciples. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knew their hearts, but he also knew their weakness. He knows our weakness, but he does know our hearts. He knows that we so want to meditate on the word. He knows that we so want to do certain other things, that we want to love Jesus more, that we want to think more often of him. He knows our willing spirit. Blessed is the man, woman, boy or girl, whom the Saviour looks on and sees a willing spirit. He sees the desire. I will meditate in thy statutes. Well, we have this word meditate. It can be translated as ponder, converse, talk or converse with oneself. You're talking with yourself. You've got the word in front of you. It's come to your mind and you're musing over it. You're talking about it to yourself. Ah, look what that has said. Look at the comfort there. Look at the rebuke. Remember again Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yes, those are words of praise, but we also see there the psalmist speaking to himself. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You know, we need to sit down and have a chat with ourselves at times. Bless the Lord. And then as we think of this meditating, we need just to pause and talk. Oh, how lovely that verse is. This meditating, this conversing. Remember Isaac. Genesis 24, verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. He went out and he went to meditate. He conversed with himself. He thought of certain things. And to his blessing, a woman came along who was to be his wife, Rebecca. Isaac went out to meditate in the field. And you know there's a practical thing there, isn't it? There are set times when we read and we pray, but also those times we can just go out. Yes, it was the evening, but we can just go out and we can just spend that time thinking about God's word. You remember Mary on that amazing night? Oh, she hears what the angel said. She's holding our Lord in her arms and she's pondering on the things that she had heard in her heart. What a lovely thought that is. She had Jesus in her arms. And she had Jesus in her heart. She was thinking about him. Oh, one day we will embrace Jesus in heaven. But till then, oh, that we would know much of him in our hearts. That we would ponder over the things of the gospel. Those things concerning him. Tell yourself, what a lovely Saviour I have. Tell yourself how privileged you are. He came into the world to save you. Meditate on the word. Let the words of God sink down into your hearts. Listen to Thomas Manton. Oh Christian, this means it's not to be neglected, no more than reading and hearing. Because of its great use. It is of great use. And that's why it's underlined in scripture, isn't it? We see that in Psalm 1. The blessed godly man is found meditating in God's word. Think about the word. We need to read the word. We need to hear the word preached. We need to listen to psalm singing. And then let's meditate upon it. Well, in closing, I'd like us just to meditate on some great texts of Scripture. We think of this resolve here, I will meditate in thy statutes. Well, let's just go and do this as we close tonight. And meditate. Just talk to yourself about these verses of Scripture, that we might conform to Scripture. As we close, just 10 verses of Scripture. Just to meditate upon. First of all, let's go to the first verse in Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just think of that. It begins with God. He made this world. He made the heaven and the earth. What a great God he is. So strong, so powerful. As you look around at creation, think of God. Think of his almighty power and in the situations you face. Oh, consider his power that is supporting you. He who made this world is carrying you at this present time. And let's go to Exodus 14, verse 13. Secondly, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever and ever. Fear ye not, just think of that. What a blessing when the Lord says it to us. He knows our need. He knows where you are. Fear ye not. You just think of those words. What is the Lord saying to you? And see the salvation of the Lord. You know, it's interesting there. They had to stand still before they went forward. They had to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And we need to stand still. And just meditate on God's word and the salvation that we will see. Thirdly, Remember those words in Joshua 1 verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Just meditate on those words. The enduring promise. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And on it goes. And he's with us. He's with God's servants. He's with his people as a whole. Just think of that. God with us. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Just think about that. Just talk to yourself about that. Your God will not fail you nor forsake thee. He won't let you down and he won't desert you. Just think about that. Nor the situations you face. Meditate on that great truth. Let's move on to, fourthly, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Just think about that. And tell yourself this. You have a wonderful shepherd, and all you need is to be found in him. He belongs to you. You're in union with him. What a privilege. He's your shepherd. Just think about that. I shall not want. Fifthly, Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Just think about that. God is. I believe it's Spurgeon makes much on the second word there. God is. Think about it. He's there and he's your refuge. And he's your strength. A very present help in trouble. He comes so near to you in affliction. Sometimes we don't recognize it, but he's there. He's your refuge. What do we sing in Psalm 143? I flee unto thee. Just think about him and then go to him. Sixthly, Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Just think of the titles. Jesus is wonderful. And as we saw on the Lord's Day evening, he doeth wondrously. He's wonderful. You know, I find great blessing in thinking of that title. Let your mind just muse over that title. He's wonderful. And you're thinking about Jesus, aren't you? Just think of him now. He's the counselor with such skill. He leads and he guides you. And so you can say all things work together for good to them that love God. Why? Because of your counselor. It's with such skill. Think of a captain who guides the boat through the rough seas with such skill. Think of your captain who is the captain of the hosts of the Lord. He guides you with such skill through troublous seas. He's the mighty God. Just think of him. The mighty God. You have a mighty God at your side. He's the everlasting Father. We're thinking of the Lord Jesus there as we considered a few months ago. The everlasting Father. He so cares for you. As a father does. His fatherly dealings with you. And then he's the Prince of Peace. Just meditate on those words. Tell yourself. Though the storms may roar all around me, he has promised me peace. Seventhly. Go to Malachi 3 verse 16. And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And the book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that fought upon his name. The God fear speaking to others. And the Lord listening. How he delights to hear you speaking of him. How he delights to see you talking to others of his word. He listens on. You know, we can really be sure the Lord is listening when we're talking about Jesus and many other things to do with him in the word. Eighthly, remember those well-known words And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. The angel would tell those words to Mary, and Mary would ponder upon them to her heart's satisfaction. Fear not, dear brothers and sisters, all is well. Because of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. If doubts arise, turn to that verse and meditate upon it. Think of your Saviour. He came into this world. He was born in the city of David for you. He came for you. What a comfort that is. Just think of it. Ninthly, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. John 14, verses 1 and 2. How many of the Lord's people, near the end of their life, have thought about those words? My granny used to think of those words at least once a week in her latter years. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, like the disciples, we can be looking at the difficulties around us and our souls can be stirred up. Just meditate on those words. Let not your heart be troubled. Consider who's saying it. Consider why he is saying it. Consider to what purpose he is saying it. That you might know calm within. Meditate. And then on the Father's house, many mansions, there's a place in heaven being prepared for you. This world isn't our home. We have a home in heaven. There's a mansion there. There's a place there. And it's true. If it were not so, I would have told you. What a text to meditate upon if doubts arise. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Just think about that now. Talk to yourself about that. Jesus is in heaven preparing the mansion for you. And he's been doing it for a long time. And he will continue to do it till you get there. He's making intercession for you at this moment. Think of that. Meditate on that. He ever liveth to make intercession. That's part of his preparing the mansion for you. We must close tenthly. Just think of Romans 8 verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know. The devil may whisper at times, how on earth are you going to get through this? Meditate on that verse. Pray that the Holy Spirit would bring it near and say, we know that all things, even the difficult things, the testing things. I believe it was Daniel Rowland. Not long before he left this world, he meditated on those words. All things work together for good, for your good. You may say, but what about this situation? All things. Doesn't it, when it's brought near to our heart, bring calm? To know that all things work together for good. Just think on that. We're here, we've thought of some texts, and we've only just scratched the surface. We have so much to meditate upon. I will meditate in thy statutes. Make it your resolve. You love the word. You delight in it. Go to it. Then see what the Lord is saying. And think upon it, and then live in the light of it. Amen. Let's come then to the Lord in prayer.